This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.
Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by Go West Credit Union Association, IMM eSign, Trellis, PSCU, Peer IT Credit Union Services, and Janusee. Buddy Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of Go West Credit Union Association's MAX convention here in Spokane, Washington. And look who's in the studio lounge, Carrie Stapp from Co-op Solutions.
Yes.
How are you, Carrie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
How's the conference going for you?
It's going good. It's going good. I'm a little bit far away from home, but I've never been to Spokane.
Oh, and you haven't?
I have not.
Oh, wow.
So I haven't actually seen the town yet. Maybe getting to do a little of that tonight. We'll see.
It's an interesting place. Yeah,
yeah.
It's really cool. I mean, this is the Northwest, but
I know.
This is.
I'm from the Midwest, though, so anything can be exciting compared to the Midwest. So.
Okay. We'll take that as a positive.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Hey, earlier you spoke, actually an hour ago you were just talking before the recording, that you gave a presentation and the title was The Evolving Definition of Member Trust. All
yes.
right. Immediately, I'm intrigued.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this, your session. Give us a quick overview here.
So what we've been doing at Co-op for the last couple of years, and I think you're aware of this, you and I have spoken about it before, we're really invested in market research. And we've been partnering with names like EY, Feline, MasterCard, to really understand what's going on in the industry, but specifically what's going on in the minds of members and consumers. So that, a couple reasons, right? We at Co-op want to know that our products and solutions are meeting the needs of our credit unions, our clients, as well as their members. So we want to know them as well as we can. So this year's research, we really focused on that whole aspect of digital payments and what's happening, and not just which products and services that they're wanting to use, but why. And so what came out in this is that fintechs are really winning mindshare, and they're really winning on the basis of what's now the new definition of trust. And so what we found was credit union members, so two-thirds of who we surveyed were actually credit union members, one-third was not.
Okay.
And what they told us is that convenience and ease of use now rival the traditional definition of trust, data, security, and fraud as the number one reasons why they would choose a financial institution.
Okay.
So what that's telling us is that things like fraud and data security are table stakes. And so first and foremost, the decision makers for them are convenience and ease of use, and they want that in their daily lives. And so when we saw this growth in fintechs year over year from our respondents telling us who's your primary financial relationship with, the fintech category, specifically PayPal and Chime, grew 500% in response. In that is who they consider their primary financial relationship.
Oh,
and so when we asked what's behind all of that, it really was that's who they trust to bring them those digital tools that they want that bring them that convenience and ease of use.
Okay.
It does all end up coming back to payments, which is maybe timely for Co-op, I'm hoping. But what's really good about all of that is understanding that it's that daily constancy, being in front of your members every single day, and that 5, 6, 7 times a day that they actually transact with their financial institution, making sure you're present there so that you can be present for the long term.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what does this mean to a credit union? Because that's some pretty big news.
Well, I think that there's a lot of opportunity. I think that, the traditional definitions of trust, all of the things that credit unions, local banks have been built on, being locally rooted, actually having that consultative approach and that relationship with their members, it's all still there. And so we just can't allow our product set or the tools that we give our members to be the deal breaker of why they don't choose us. So, you know, if these digital tools and trust and privacy and all these things are now become table stakes and we meet that demand as a credit union industry, then all of this other inherent equity that we have built up of being locally rooted, people helping people, the philanthropy that, that the credit union industry demonstrates, I think is an obvious choice and win. It's just if we aren't seen as easy to use and convenient according to how members see that, it'll be a challenge. It's a deal breaker. Those things aren't maybe as important enough.
Oh my God, interesting. Yeah, because that's what everybody, we've been so spoiled in the retail space, and that's what's what you see on Amazon and all the other Uber stuff and all that type of stuff. That's to be expected at your financial institution. And well, things like Chime and SoFi are doing it on the financial side.
They are. And so what they're doing is they're earning the trust of the consumer through ease of use and convenience. And then they're proving that they provide the security and the data and all of those things. I think
that's secondary?
I don't think it's secondary. I think it is. I think it's that they're so available at point of sale. They're so, I'm going to use the word embedded into our lives
now,
consumers. In my opinion, and this is actually, this will actually set us up for our conversation about our research going forward, but I actually believe that the buying experience is dictating how, what payment choices and how the consumer is paying, instead of these are your payment choices, now go out and buy. It's getting flipped on its head, and and we've seen that in the retail space, we've seen it in the grocery space. I think you will see it in bigger purchases, like auto buying and home buying. I think you'll see it eventually into healthcare, more into healthcare. I just think we haven't started to look at what is that e-commerce experience bringing.
Oh my gosh, how quickly things are changing. It's almost, it's just, your head just spins almost.
But it's exciting. It's exciting.
Okay, I'm good. I'm glad.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I mean, it's a lot, but again, this is why we do the research, right? It's so that we're ahead of it, and you don't find yourself obsolete and don't even realize it or know it.
But for a credit union, just, this must be just exhausting to keep track of all this type of stuff and then to maintain and to keep up with all that. I mean, I know that's part of the job. That's part of the gig.
It's part of the job. It is. And it's, but it also is part of the relationship that they should have with their partners and their vendors to be a part of that. And that's why co-op does what we do, so that we can provide that and take that off of their shoulders and be that voice for them.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit here. New member centricity agenda.
Yes.
What is that agenda and what are some key points?
So, so on the backs of this new definition of trust, we wanted to understand, what does it mean now to be member centric, and let's define that, let's redefine that. And so we established a model, a new centricity member centricity model, for credit unions to follow. Ask themselves questions. Say, am I doing these things? First being, know your members like never before. Harness that data and that information. When we're talking about know your members, the new definition now is to know them. I'm going to use the words artificial intelligence, even though that seems big and scary, even, you know, especially to smaller credit unions. But harness the data and the information that you have. It's more than knowing Carrie Stapp when I walk in the door. You know, they're used to being served up now offers and lookalike products and all the things in Amazon, like you said, or any other retail space that says, because you shop for this, you may like that. That's now the consumer expectation. And so all of that data, I mean, there are so many retail industry brands that would say, if we had the data that you have, that they would be like, we would be, you know, light years ahead of where we are. And we're the industry that's not really utilizing that data. And so it is about knowing your members like you've never known them before. Start to tap into that data. Start to look at, how are they spending their money? Where is their money going? And we talk to some credit unions, you know, through their strategic planning, their board planning retreats, where they're doing incredible things with this, you know, really understanding, where's the bulk of the money coming into our credit union? Where's it coming from? When payments are being made out, where are our members making those payments out to? And is any of that a threat to us, or could we help our members in ways that you know, we don't even see yet? And so harnessing that, that's the first piece, is knowing your members like never before.
Okay.
The second is, be their choice for every moment. In the credit union industry, our typical model has been built around more around lending, right? Mm-hmm. Those big purchases. And that, in my opinion, staying focused just simply in that area is probably the biggest threat to the credit union industry, in my opinion. When you're not present every single day, for every time I'm swiping that card, every time I'm making a purchase, this e-commerce experience is really revolutionizing, and the convergence between payments and big ticket purchases, autos, homes, investments, college, isn't that far away. I pay all of my kids' college tuition through either PayPal or through a card transaction online.
Interesting.
It's just the way that it's all done. And all of those, that those two worlds are converging. So if you're not present in every day, eventually it'll catch up with us on that long-term lending front. And then the third piece of it is really about embracing the power of connection and thinking about that in terms of technology convergence. So I may have all the products and services that I need, but if all of that doesn't connect together for me as the member in my life and how that all works, it kind of just becomes a jumbled mess.
Oh, completely.
In this really disaggregated world. And so that's really, I think, the third piece of it is, how do we do the best that we can to connect all of these experiences together by focusing first on that member and then connecting it in the way that they want to see it, not just by the traditional confines of our own systems. We've got to think through that.
Yeah,
differently.
No, I just had Todd in here yesterday, Todd Clark. He's kind of echoing the same sentiment here. You know, being there for the life milestones in life, you know, okay, I'm going to buy a house, going to get a car, retire.
Yep.
That's great.
It is
great.
But
you got to be there for those life, the daily life stuff.
There's 365 days of decisions and choices with my money that have to allow me to be able to do that. And we're in this disaggregated world where consumers are saying, help me. I want all this ease of use and convenience, but I don't know what I'm doing with my money now.
Which segues perfectly to the next question here. So what's going on with consumers? I mean, we're obviously driven by financial well-being. So what are consumer behaviors of today? Because I find this really fascinating. I'm sure you'll have some
So it all leads info. It all leads back to the desire for financial wellness, right? So, and when I say financial wellness, I'm not speaking about it in terms of just teach me about my credit score or financial literacy of how to balance a checkbook, if you will.
Good financial habits?
Financial literacy and financial wellness are two different things. Financial wellness sets me up for long-term saving and the ability to buy those bigger purchases and make those, I'm going to say, hopes and dreams come true, right? And so what we found in our research was a couple things. When we said, what are the three products or features, if you will, that you are looking for that would solve problems for you? They said, help us with account reminders, help us with asset aggregation, and help us with bill simplification. And we thought that was interesting because, I mean, when you think about it in this disaggregated world, how many different subscription payments I'm paying. I have my kids' card in hand with my kids, and they're swiping and tapping and buying online. And, you know, I've got three teenagers, and that's what they're going to do. And that's what a lot of this population is doing. And so I have the ability to buy in all these different places, but there's no place where it all comes back together for me. I'm buying here, I'm tapping there, I'm buy now, pay later here. And I'm doing whatever's convenient in the moment. Like I said, that point of sale purchase, that e-commerce experience is dictating how I'm buying.
You're exactly right.
And we've got a whole generation of folks that are coming up. They're like, what do you mean? I don't even know how to balance a checkbook. What is it? I don't even know what any of that stuff is.
Exactly.
Somebody just tell me what my balance is.
Right.
And so when we found out those features, we wanted to understand, okay, well, it's not just about those products. What is it you're trying to solve for? And they said, we need help understanding our spending behavior. Where am I spending my money? Where do I have opportunity to cut back or invest more or do whatever it is? They don't have an ability to see all of that. They want to know their own personal trends and how does this line up to the goals that I have set. And just like I was just talking about, they want help cross-managing their finances in this disaggregated world. And so, you know, it's no wonder that they said account reminders and asset aggregators, because this is what they're really trying to solve. And so when we think about the future of financial services and the space that's not being filled very well at all, and this is really where it happens for credit unions, is nobody's being the hub. Nobody's thinking about that member truly in that member-centric way and saying, I'm going to be the hub. It's fine that you're using PayPal. It's fine that you're using Apple Pay. But if if you use me behind all of those things, you get all of that convenience. Yep. But I'm going to tell you what you're doing out in all of those spaces to keep you on track.
I can track it for you. Yeah.
For your saving and spend and big purchase spending
that
for your life.
Is anybody doing that right now?
I think a lot of credit unions are starting to lean into that, and they're starting to understand it. I do think that some of the big banks are really trying to do that. Mm-hmm. They're trying to take full control of the whole purchasing experience, because I don't think this gets easier. I think retailers know, as this e-commerce is evolving, I think retailers are seeing, hey, wait a minute, this payments gig is kind of a good thing. We want our piece of the pie. We want to cut as many people out as possible. Let's get this payment stuff coming directly through us. We'll take all that money. And so, you know, this is where the relevancy really comes in, because if I'm buying at Target and I'm buying at Amazon and they're totally controlling the payments experience, who's watching out for the member?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And so it's really where credit unions have an opportunity. And I do think that as we're waking up as an industry to understand, wait a minute, this really is what the new member experience is. I think we are seeing a lot of credit unions start to lean in and say, how can I do this?
Yeah, isn't Ford, aren't they like bringing all their payments, their lending, all that stuff in their Ford ecosystem?
So auto industry has been doing this for a while, but they're turning it on its head. Meaning what they're wanting to do is they want to control the whole thing and they want to get the financing. Mm-hmm. It's financing first. Mm-hmm. And I was saying in my session that, and I challenged the audience. I said, I saw a job description on LinkedIn the other day for SVP of payment services.
Okay.
And I asked them, what do you think the company is? And they were like, PayPal and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like,
the retailer?
Zillow.
Oh, really?
Zillow.
For payments.
Payment services.
Okay. So what are you buying on Zillow besides a
home?
Are we buying homes now?
We're buying a home.
Well, didn't they try that earlier and it didn't work out so well?
If you read it, it's Zillow 2.0.
Okay.
And saying financing first. The travel industry is doing it. The auto industry is doing it.
Yeah.
And now the home industry is doing it. And so it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
But there's still opportunity. I mean,
is that called disintermediation?
Yeah, so there it is, right? There it is.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, actually, this leads nicely into the next question, too. The market pressures here. So there are also plenty of opportunities for credit unions. So what do you see as those opportunities, and what do credit unions need to do here?
I really think, first, I think they need to focus on being present every day.
Mm-hmm.
Getting cards in hand, getting digital wallets in hand, being the payment behind all of this fintech out there. That's simple enough. I mean, it's not simple, but it's a task. Mm-hmm. Let's make that happen. Mm-hmm. We can make that happen. How are we going to get the cards in our members' hands? How are we going to get top of wallet status? Then how are we going to deploy the digital solutions that are going to allow us to grow? Mm-hmm. I think that's really important for them. I think that the long-term vision needs to be, how do we become then that hub for all of this financial wellness? I really think it is built in that definition of, and I'm talking about financial wellness, not financial literacy.
Right.
Being that hub for them.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? And so that's where I think that those connected ecosystems, probably what Todd was talking to you about, becomes really important, because you've got to be able to see that member holistically instead of this system and that system and this system and that system. It really needs to be brought into an ecosystem that allows carry to be seen as carry, so that all of that works together for my financial wellness picture.
Well, I want to see, I'm sorry to interrupt, I want to see a credit union do that,
you
know, so it can be the example or the template.
We're seeing some of that start to evolve in board planning sessions and what they want to build for in their ecosystems.
I think once you have that, then others will follow, just like they always do with other stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
Yes.
That's the exciting thing that I like. Okay, so last question here for you, Carrie. So for at least 2 years, you guys have been the leader in providing market research to credit unions. Thank you for that. Can you share with us at this point what co-op, what you guys will be doing in that area in 2023?
So we're kicking off our 2023 research projects now. We always launch our research at our Think event in May.
That's right, yeah.
Which I think was the first time I spoke to you about this in May of this year. And so we'll launch that officially to our attendees at Think and then to the greater market after that. And where we're focused this year is going a lot deeper into the psychology behind a lot of this stuff. So we've been focused the last 2 years around what are the benefits, what are the features, what are the products, how are they using those products, and what is it we're solving for. Now we want to start to understand, what's the psychology behind some of these things? How do you use your debit card versus your credit card?
Yeah.
How do I use mine? When do I use digital wallet versus card present? I think what we're going to find is that e-commerce and retail is actually driving those decisions. We aren't driving them. I don't think that the financial services industry is driving it. I think that the e-commerce experience in front of me is driving it.
Okay.
And we're going to be...
Like what's offered?
What's offered to me at checkout,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like if I go to Walmart.com or if I go to Amazon or whatever it is, I mean, I will abandon cart if I don't have some form of digital payment already stored for me to click, because I don't have my card. I'm not going to plug all that stuff in.
Yeah.
And so we want to understand the psychology behind some of that, which industries are leading in it, which ones are lagging, so that we can understand what's really the impact happening in these daily payments. We're also going to be looking longer term at what we're calling macro payments. So those are more micro payments, everyday spend. And what's the psychology behind it and what's driving it. I believe we're going to see industry drive it. As I said, macro payments, then how does it connect to macro payments, which means my payment to my auto loan or my mortgage loan or my college savings account or my retirement. Where do those two things converge? And is there a dollar amount on the purchase that you know changes my micro payment? Is there an ability to allow me to save for all these things if it's more of a connected between daily? It's bringing out that whole, what does this financial wellness look like, and connecting those micro payments to those macro or bigger long-term payments, if you will.
Oh my goodness.
So that's where we're going to be studying.
Okay.
I don't know what it is going to be yet. We're just now building that out. We are utilizing partners for that going forward as well. So
I like the psychology of it.
Yeah.
The whole consumer behavior, I mean, I've always been fascinated by it, but especially during the pandemic and then coming out of the pandemic, it went to a whole new level of fascination, just how people were reacting and reacting to what was out there and what was offered and what wasn't offered.
Yeah.
And so it's really...
pandemic, I think, accelerated all of it because it forced a lot of us to start transacting online, which then forced the adoption of digital payments.
Yep,
and so that's why I feel really strongly, you know, that it's actually what we're going to see is that the e-commerce experience is transforming it. And what we need to be in front of is understanding, what does that mean in the auto lending space? What does that mean in healthcare space?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the lagging industries, but they're not going to lag for long. They're all innovating in that space.
Oh, yeah.
And what does it mean to
it's
us?
Happening fast.
Yeah, and it's happening fast. And what does that mean to us?
Yeah.
And how do we stay in the game?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, big questions for 2023, for sure.
I know.
All right,
exciting.
Carrie, thank you so much for this. Always fun talking to you because you have just a wealth of information in your head. So I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
so
no problem.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
You are welcome. Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by Go West Credit Union Association, IMM eSign, Trellance, PSCU, Peer IT Credit Union Services, and Janusy.
This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.